Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. What book did I say?
1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Go to verse 17. That's where the pericope or the passage that we are going to lean into on today. We're going to read that in a moment. But I just wanted to start today with this. What is this, friends? It's an oven mitt for those who are listening online. It's an oven mitt. And the purpose, obviously, anybody other than me ever, you know, forgot that something was hot and went to go pick it up? And then anybody not ashamed to? Okay. And then you either dropped it and it smashed on the floor and got all over your clothes, or you burnt your hand up or the stuff. And it didn't matter how long you spent making it.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. 1 second of touching something that was too hot to handle. Come on, you see where we're going. Without the appropriate tools in place,
could
cause you severe pain and damage. And then thereafter, when you go to try lifting stuff that's not even hot, because of what happened, you start to experience pain. And so this is our perspective when we're thinking about too hot to handle. We're saying that the relationships that God has called us to, and the things surrounding these relationships today. Mm-hmm. Anybody note that relationships are under attack?
Yes.
I mean, the media is trying to shift and change, and we're changing definitions, and we're changing all sorts of things and whatever. And it's real hot today, family. You say the wrong thing, and hypocrites are going to cancel you. Yeah. Notice who I said is going to cancel you. Because the same people canceling folk are the same people that need the grace that they're not extending.
Come on.
Anyways, so it's important that we are intentional about how we are handling the relationships and the various dynamics of relationships. I want you to, every time you go to the oven from now on and you get ready to touch something hot, I want you to remember what we're talking about, and remember the important nature of how you are stewarding and handling the relationships that you're in. Anything to share around?
Yeah, and sometimes we don't know how hot something is until we touch it. And I think, you know, a lot of times past experiences affect our future relationships and how we handle them. And so a lot of times it wasn't your fault, you just didn't know.
Wow.
And we don't understand why are we acting this way. It's because we were mishandled.
Wow.
And in this series, we want to talk about how do you handle something that's hot with care.
Wow, that's so good. So not only is it what you're saying is not only at times is it that my touching something can be dangerous, but I can actually be a part of the dangerous thing. Hmm. And people can even mishandle me at times, not realizing how hot or how difficult the situation is. That's powerful.
And if you don't have a thermometer.
You better preach. Go ahead and preach.
No, if you don't have the right tool, it's all about tools. That's Most people don't have the effective tools to manage relationships. And so you're trying to, I know we're going to go to talk about a barbecue, but if you're trying to barbecue at like, okay, I don't barbecue, so I'm going to throw some different numbers. But you're trying to barbecue, or let's do the oven. You're trying to make lasagna at 100 degrees.
Wow.
Ain't going to work. You put the love and care, come on.
Wow.
You layered that thing with the cheese. You laid it out. But because you didn't put, even though you put all the TLC in it, because you didn't have the right degree, you didn't have the thermometer, you didn't put it in the right degree, it's not going to cook properly.
Wow.
I don't care how much you've been praying for that relationship.
Wow.
I don't know how long you've been waiting, hello somebody, for that person. But if you don't have the right tools, you can mismanage a good thing.
So the heat isn't always indicative of something being bad.
No.
Wow. So it cannot be hot enough.
Come on.
That's what you're saying. Okay. Big up yourself. You're just Barnes' friend. So look, I think with this in mind, our heart talking about, you know, giving and equipping you with the appropriate tools to handle relationships, no matter what stage of life or dynamic you're in, that's it. Stuff will happen.
Yeah.
But how you handle it is how it determines whether it will bless you or whether it will break you. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And so here in the text, this is powerful because we especially, surprise, surprise, want to focus in on those who are unmarried today. And those who are in a position of singleness, not only them, but also how we, as people who may be in relationships, how we steward those who are unmarried. Are you with us today?
Yeah.
All right. And so look, Paul says some interesting things in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. He says, and I'm going to just read some excerpts for the sake of our discussion. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him. Mm. Someone say, assigned to him.
Assigned to him.
Or her, right? And to which God has called him or her. Watch. This is my rule in all the churches. This is the Apostle Paul talking apostolically as one who is a coverer or an overseer of the churches of God. Verse 26, he says, I think that in view of the present, because there was difficulty, especially going on in Corinth and in the Corinthian church at the time who he's addressing, and he makes these statements consequently. He says, in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. He goes on and he says, some of y'all didn't know this stuff was in the Bible, did you? But if you do marry, you have not sinned. He's balancing it out. And if a betrothed or someone who is engaged woman marries, she has not sinned. I want you to hear the heart and the tenor of what he's saying. And then he goes on and says, yet those who marry will have worldly troubles. And I would spare you that. Verse 32, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. See, some of y'all think you need to be married in order to fix your challenges. Some of y'all think that getting married will cure that lust issue. Fact of the matter is, it might be fornication before you get married, but then the struggle shifts to adultery when you do get married. Oh, y'all don't want to be real with me on today. Lust is lust, whether you're unmarried or married. But he's saying in this position, this is what he's saying. He's saying, so don't think you're fleeing from difficulty or challenges because you get married. And then he goes on and says, verse 34, if his interests are divided and the unmarried and betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in the body and the spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but watch, to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Here the Apostle Paul vacillates and goes back and forth between those who are unmarried and those who are married. And he speaks about the benefits and also the challenges of both. As I noted this, and I want especially to speak to unmarried people in this moment, I want you to understand that marriage is a gift, watch, but it is not the chief end of mankind. The goal of life should not to be married. It should be to glorify God with whatever relationship status you have.
Come on.
And so he's saying, in other words, you guys are going through difficulty. He's like, too many of y'all are sitting here focused on getting married, and that's the goal of your life. And he's like, the single people and the married people, he's like, there's those that are like, I want to get out of this marriage. And he's like, wherever you are at this moment, your chief end should be to bring glory to God with your singleness or with your married position. Ultimately, to bring glory to God. And you'll mess around. And while you're glorifying God and living a life and maximizing your life of pleasing him, you'll mess around at many times and find the person that you've been looking for, or be found by the person, or have that marriage grow to a place of strength that you never, ever would have expected.
I think the key part here in the scripture, the last line is, but to promote a good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. That's really the goal for any relationship, is your devotion to the Lord. How in your life is hindering you, distracting you from, or distorting your view of the Lord?
Yeah, very good. I want you to note, even as it pertains to singleness, you know, a lot of people are, and unmarried, being unmarried, are desirous of getting married because you think marriage is going to cure loneliness. Can I tell you that there are a lot of people, you can be married and still lonely. Can I say that again? Fick it. You can be married and still lonely. And this is the challenge. This is why I'm trying to encourage us, and we're trying to encourage you to realize that, you know, the things you think are cured by a shift in a relational status, this is not always the case. It's important that we find and experience God and the things that God has for us, whether we're married or unmarried. And so I think that we just need to understand that there's actually such a massive value when it comes to singleness.
Listen, if I could go back being single, I love being married. Love being married. But there was a gift in the singleness. Got the whole bed to myself. No, I'm joking. No.
It's so funny. She be the one that's rolling all over the place. And anyway.
No, but I remember, though, being single, my devotion to the Lord was on another level. I remember I was able to pray and read my Bible without a child coming in and distracting me. I didn't have to get up at 6 a.m. before the house got up. Before I had the flexibility in my time that wasn't distracting me. And I think sometimes I love being married, but sometimes I go back to those memories. Because I had the opportunity and it was not wasted. I was doing things. I was traveling. I was living my life. I lived my best life.
Living my best life.
Yes. And I'm still living my best life. Let's not get it twisted. It doesn't mean that my life is enhanced, but I'm still continuing the living of favor while I was single and while I was married.
It's so good. I think the problem is that the media and the world, again, it exacerbates, it magnifies this whole desire that, you know, everything is centered around like finding your boo and your bae and getting locked and all this stuff and all this. And it's like, you know, fact. And then what it does is it casts a shadow on singleness as if singleness is a bad thing. Like you need to just, like you've arrived if you just find a boo or a bae. And it's like there's so many of you that God has stuff to do in your life that is especially going to be efficacious in your singlehood that you're not even going to be able to do when you're married. And you're missing it because you're allowing the world to push you to this place. Jesus was never married. Sorry, Da Vinci Code. Jesus was never married, and look what it is that he did in the earth. You know, and so it's important in terms of perspective that we don't allow the world to force us to a place where we put a higher value on things than God is desirous of in the season that we're in.
I just heard someone said, that's good for Jesus. Not for me.
The point is that if you're called to be there at the time. You know, the thing is, because there are some of you, can I just tell you this, that may never get married. Have you made such an idol out of marriage that you no longer worship God or no longer can have peace or happiness just because of the fact that one day you may never get married? Is it impossible? See, some of y'all, you just immediately, you're like, the devil is a liar. No, the spirit of this age is a liar. And this is why many of you, you're missing all that God has for you and the fulfillment that he has for you because you are having ungodly perspective. Do not allow the enemy to make an idol or to push you to make an idol out of something that he's not called you to. Many of you, you're single for different reasons. It's not because you've chosen, some of you, right? Some of you, it's because of you may be a widow or a widower. You may be in a position where, you know, somebody like walked out on you, or you may have been just to the place where you're like, I'm saving myself and I'm making sure I do what is right, right? In terms of seeking God, maximizing my singleness, and, you know, waiting until the Lord connects, you know, something we always talk about, connects us with our purpose partner. But I think it's important for us because there are many of us that are missing things, some of us, because we need to be healed. And we need to be delivered because of what happened. And there are people, some of you, who God has put in your life and sent into your life to be to you what someone else was not. But you're making them pay for somebody else's mistakes. And I just declare over you today, I just declare the healing power of the Lord, provision by the cross of Christ. By his stripes, you not only are you able to be healed from cancer, But disease and sickness. But I believe that he wants to heal many of us in the area of our hearts today.
Amen.
And so it's important for us when we're thinking about this. We're talking about the panel that's in our lives. For those of you who are singles, you know, it's important that, you know, how in Love is Blind or in Married at First Sight or one of these things, you know, they have these quote unquote experts. Many of you have been mishandling relationships because of who is on your panel of experts. Come on, babe.
It's so important to have the right team on your side. When you're in a situation, when you're feeling a little hot, who are you going to call? You're going to have that person say, oh, yeah, you should go for it, when you should not be going for it. And so it's very important that you evaluate who you're running to. People that are married, people that are in relationships, make sure you are guiding people in the right direction. Yeah. And don't let them live the life that you thought you should have lived. So you're like, oh, you should try this because I didn't get to do this. But make sure it's godly counsel. Make sure the person's discerning and they're making sure they're giving you the right direction. And so who is on your expert panel in your life? Wow. Maybe you need to switch it out. Switch it out. Or maybe you need more people. Too many people have only one person. It's their go-to for everything. I do not believe there should be one everything, all be all, in one BFF. You need a council of people.
That's Bible.
That have different expertise. You need the lawyer, the CFO, or the CA, the CFO or the CPA. You know, you need, when you're running a business, you need a team of people. Your CPA does not know everything about the business. You need multiple people that have different expertise to help guide you for your future.
That's very, very good. I think that's important to note because there are many of you that are taking marriage advice from people who are single, you know, or you're taking counsel and you're single. Oh, y'all didn't know people do that. Or you're taking counsel in regards to singleness and how to be successful as a single from people who aren't living right. Oh, are we able to keep it real today? And so it's important. It's like, listen, you've got to make sure that the people you're listening to are, first of all, heading in the direction that you're desirous of heading. Mm-hmm. Don't just get together with people to create a petri dish of complaints and all sorts of stuff, or to listen to them and their counsel in that regard. I also want to challenge you, for those of us who are on people's panel, stop shaming folk because they're single. Stop single shaming. Because it's us that creates this bed that for people to lie in when we're like, oh, you should have been married by now. Parents, I love y'all. Especially ones who come from the background like mine. Come on, somebody. Listen, I know you wish that you should have had grandkids by now. But you're not the one that has to be, oh man, they're not liking me today. I'm going home. But the fact is, you're not the one that has to be married to the person that you're trying to push your family member into connecting to just so you can have grandkids at this time. So it's important. Stop shaming and pressuring people. I brought my own amens this morning. Pressuring people, focusing people in that position. Because I want you to understand, also, you got to get to the place where you stop encouraging people to connect watch with people that they are not compelled to be with.
Having those friends say, girl, get with him. He's a good man. He look good. He smell good. But you're like, he's not for me. I don't
you
feel
get with
it.
Him.
Right? And I think it's sometimes we sometimes pressure people when they're not feeling it. And if they're praying themselves, their alignment should be with your alignment, saying, you know, I think that I want to go pursue that person. Instead of saying, girl, you're missing out on a good thing. Or guy, you're missing out on a good thing because these are your standards. But I think it's very important that they feel comfortable to connect with that person as well.
Yeah. What I love about the tenor, and we'll bring the plane down on this, what I love about what Paul says in the passage we just read in the, you know, the various excerpts, is that he talks about and he starts and says, you know, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to them. Right? And to which God has called to them. And I think that's a powerful thing. We are not going through our life based upon what people are trying to tell us and all this stuff, or trying to manipulate situations into things that God has not called us to. There are many of you, watch, there are extremes in either direction. And both of these things I'm about to say start with over. There are many of you, watch, you're oversimplifying. And what do I mean by this? You're oversimplifying. In other words, you're not putting in the necessary effort to be able to maximize your unmarried season or position yourself to be found or to find somebody. And so you're oversimplifying it. You're in the place like, well, when the Lord, child, when the Lord does it, then that's when it's going to happen. And you're just sitting there waiting for lightning to strike or waiting for it's raining men. Hallelujah. You're just waiting. And it's like that is an oversimplification of what you're supposed to be doing. Yes, God is going to do it. And yes, you know, you don't overdo it. But the fact of the matter is many of us are oversimplifying things.
And some of us are overcorrecting. Yeah. You know, I've been praying. I've been fasting for that person. I've been doing the heart work, which is the hard work. I've been going to therapy. I'm doing all the right. I'm saving myself. I'm not washing anything. I'm living a life of purity. You're overworking. You're doing all the things. The one thing you're not doing is be still and know that He is God. And so it's so important that we let God do in His timing. Maybe you're ready, but the person that God has for you is not ready for you just yet. You're not the problem. So don't just be wasting the time doing nothing. Be in a place of doing, in that place of waiting.
That is such a, that is so powerful what you just said. You know, I want to just tell somebody today, you are not the problem. Because that's it. There's some of you that feel like you're a failure.
Yeah.
And you're like, I've been going to the doctor. Some of you, even in marriage, somebody that's there. And you're like, man, I've been going to the doctor's appointments. I've been doing the stuff that I'm supposed to do. And, you know, rhythm and timing and all this. And God is saying, listen, stop focusing in on the works and trust in my finished work.
Come on.
Rest in me while you're doing what you are called to do. And watch me change your status or strengthen your marriage or bless you in a way that you was unexpected in the timing. But your assignment, like he ended it and said, is to, no matter what status or state you're in, to bring glory to God. Somebody in this moment, can you put those hands together and give the Lord glory? Come on, can you give him glory, whether you're single, whether you are married, whether you are unmarried, in this position, whether you are engaged, you know, the chief end of man is to bring glory to God. And today you might be someone that says, this sounds great, but I don't know this God. I don't know this God you're talking about. I'm not in relationship with him, you know, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know this God. And I today want to make the decision to make him the God, the boss, the Lord of my life. I'm telling you, once you make it your desire and your chief end, your goal in life to give him glory, you will get the best out of this life. And he promises us, watch this, life in the world and eternity in the world to come. Amen, somebody. Anybody other than me grateful that this world is not the end? Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, we live this life, everybody, Dean, too many people, man, running around just trying to make this world a better place. And yes, the world, yes, do your best to be good and do good and all this stuff. But the fact of the matter is, if you read the Bible, it's only going to get worse from here. And no matter how many band-aids we put up on the world and things we try to do and whatever, fact is, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. But the good news is that we don't have to go with it, because of what Jesus Christ did over 2,000 years ago when he came to earth in flesh, miraculously lived perfectly for you and I, died for our sins, come on somebody, and rose from death with all power. And today he extends to you and to me life eternal and life with him while we are here on this earth. And so someone's saying, well, how do I begin a relationship with Christ? Woo! I'm stoked. I just caught a glimpse of the outdoor baptism on the 27th. And so many of you that are going to be baptized then. Come on, let's praise the Lord in advance. And so look, today the Bible sums it up in three things. I know people like to go to one scripture, but it sums it up in three things. It says, number one, that we are to repent. Someone say, repent. To repent means to acknowledge that you are a sinner and turn from serving yourself, sin, and Satan. And you turn in faith. Someone say, believe. Jesus, I believe you came, you died, you rose from death with all power. And I put my trust in you as my Lord and my Savior. And then the Bible says to be baptized. Someone say, be baptized. So to repent, believe, or put your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior and be baptized. When you're baptized, we dip you in the water and your old life is buried and left behind, unified with Christ's death and its benefits. Then when we bring you up out of the water, we bring you up and you're unified with Christ's resurrection and its benefits. And you've risen to new life in Him. And so today, if you have not yet repented, believed, and have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I call you today to put your trust in Christ and be baptized. And not only this, and you should be praying in this moment for those who are believers. You should be praying that God would move on the hearts of those who need relationship with Him. Someone who may have run away. Someone who may have gone away from God. I want you to know that although you may have run from Him, His arms are open wide, ready to receive you back into fellowship. No matter what you have done, you ran from Him, but He didn't run from you. Amen. And so today I call you back home. Come home in the house. Can you hear me online? Come home. Come back home. God wants you.